You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
This is a good song. Name the group.
Foghat, baby.
Foghat, of course.
Dude, it's Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, of course.
Sorry, I thought it was Foghat.
What are you doing there?
Ted Nugent.
That's definitely Ted Nugent.
The Motor City Madman?
It is.
Cat scratch fever, guys.
Time, I did not know this. His mother went to like all his shows.
Yeah?
She'd sit in the front row.
Good stuff, man.
Pretty funny. We have breaking White Sox news.
White Sox.
I said earlier, when Steve Stone was on, that every day they have a different headline.
Yeah.
Like a signing. Yesterday it was Stoney. Today, Chicago White Sox in agreement on a one-year deal with an option for a second year. $6 million for the one-year guaranteed, $6 million option. Steve Cishek leaves the Cubs, goes to the White Sox.
He's changing sides. I like it. The problem is he's pitched 150 times in the last 2 years. He's got nothing left. Joe Maddon used and abused
that poor kid.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Cishek. We'll see. $6 million. Doesn't kill you with a club option.
Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't kill you.
No. Where are the White Sox at? About $125 million?
I think the White Sox are fourth in the offseason so far in spending, right? I think fourth.
Cubs are number one in least spending.
Well, the Cubs,
they're tied with the Astros.
Yeah. The Cubs, I know, three teams. I don't think the Rockies have signed a major league player. You know, minor league deals maybe, but the Cubs.
Or non-guaranteed deals.
The Cubs, the Astros, and the Rockies, I think, are the only three teams that
have $0.
$0 spent.
The Red Sox have just released a statement on the story that broke this morning about them allegedly sign stealing.
Mm-hmm.
We were recently made aware of allegations suggesting the inappropriate use of our video replay room. We take these allegations seriously and will fully cooperate with MLB as they investigate the matter.
This is such a bunch of... I mean, like, come on. This is a joke.
So what would you do if it came out... If it came out and they said that, yes, the Astros were cheating, they absolutely were signaling signs in that they got through video, what would you do?
I'm with Steve Stone on what he told you. I'd hit these teams pretty hard with draft picks because that's the only way teams are going to learn. And that won't totally prevent it. There's too much technology out there now, and teams are always trying to get a leg up. I get it. Everybody's going to try to cheat. But I'd go hard after these teams and take their draft picks away. I think Stoney hit it on the head. That's what you have to do. They have to try to set an example to discourage this type of behavior.
And $50 million.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy. Yep. I mean, you know, that's not even that much for these teams.
Was that BAMTech thing? Isn't that what they got, the one-time payment for that kind of thing? Remember the technology that's out there?
Media. Yeah,
that's it right there.
Yeah.
So take away that $50 million that they got there, too, plus their draft choices.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do.
And I'm talking about sit out a whole draft.
Well,
the whole draft.
That'd be amazing. You gotta smack these people.
Well, that'd be like SMU.
No, it's not. One draft year.
An entire draft year.
That's the way it works.
I'm with Yerk.
I don't know about that, but
half these guys that get picked in the first round, they don't sign anyway. Sometimes.
Well,
am I right or am I wrong?
That can happen.
I mean, sometimes your first five guys go to college. First five guys stay in college. You don't get their rights forever.
No.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, usually the guys that are drafted later don't sign to go to college.
How long is suspension for Jeff Lunau, AJ Hinch, and Alex Cora?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You pull what they did to Sean Payton? Suspend him for a year?
For a year.
I would.
Suspend him for a year.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, like, we might all be hypocritical because we're like, well, sign stealing's okay. You just can't use technology. Well, I mean, is cheating or not?
You're using your eyes.
Yeah,
you're using knowledge. If you steal somebody's signals, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I feel like if you're doing it the old-fashioned way, now, cheating is cheating, but I sort of put it on the other team a little bit more. If you're so careless as to use basic signs or not mix them up or, you know, I'm okay with that. I don't know what's right and what's wrong here, if that makes me a hypocrite, but I am okay with it. It's kind of like, I always equate it to counting cards. If you're smart enough to count cards, and they pretty much, technology has taken that away too. Very rarely do you even walk in anymore and you get the... You know, they load up the shoe and they go from there. Now it's continuous shuffle and it's eliminated.
It's
the ability.
Continuous, kid.
But like, if you still find a casino where they got the six deck shoe and you're smart enough to count into that, more power to you. And they can't even really do anything to you. They could tell you to leave.
Yes.
But if you get caught in Vegas with some form of digital technology or cameras,
Well, you better like what happened in casinos.
Well, yeah, you better believe you're in trouble. Yeah. I mean, like, that's
now
not,
they may put you in jail, but then you caught a beating.
That's not counting cards anymore. Like, you know, so, yeah, you're in big trouble if you cross the line and you start using technology. So I've always kind of equated it to that. You're smart enough to count into that deck. God bless you. The casino might tell you to get lost, but that's about all that's going to happen. And then you go down the street and you do it again. You know, so I get it. Sign stealing's always been part of baseball. I'm cool with that, but using technology.
Here's the latest from Passan. Discipline against the Houston Astros for using technology to cheat is likely to come within the next 2 weeks. Sources familiar with the situation tell ESPN, and those in the crosshairs expected to be harsh. Long suspensions are likely.
Yeah, I mean, do you suspend them for 80 games each? Do you suspend them half
the year? I suspend
them
for the year.
Wow.
The year. I'm with Yerk. Guess what, Houston? We're not effing around. AJ Hinch, we'll see you in 21. Cool. Jeff Luhnow, we'll see you in 21. You may have no contact with the organization. Oh, and by the way, in June, you forfeited all your draft picks.
All of them. I can't imagine they do that. That seems a little harsh to me, but
that would be awesome.
Got to send a message, man.
That's sending a message. That might get everybody's attention. Teams will stop.
A whole year of a draft.
You got to wonder how many teams are doing this, don't you?
If Boston gets caught, same thing with Boston.
Don't you have to wonder how many teams are doing this? And if it's not a huge percentage of the league in some form. Where's the other place that all these players are saying it's happening? God, I read a story about this.
I'm guessing it's another team in baseball.
No, of course.
Okay.
God, well, do you guys remember? There was a story recently where a few players had said they
Milwaukee.
Like, yes, it's Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. It's always Milwaukee.
Yes, that yeah, like if you look at Yelich's home road
ever
splits
since
the last
Laverne
couple of years,
and Shirley came out of there. It's been a problem.
Although I think Yelich has still been pretty decent on the road, but a lot of players, a lot of opposing players say that the Brewers are up to this without a doubt. They're convinced that the Brewers are doing it.
Correct.
And then I bet you it's happening in a lot of places.
Dude, when this all broke, Yu Darvish was on Twitter going, told you.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Yu.
But Yu didn't, but maybe he'll pitch game.
But Game 7 wasn't in Houston. Game 7 was in L.A.
Yep.
So what is he talking about?
Because there's some speculation that they might have had a camera.
In L.A.?
Yes.
Well, how are they doing this?
Dude. I mean, Paul Sullivan wrote not too long ago, Sully, that at the end of a Cubs game in Wrigley in 2013, I think he said it was the Astros, but whatever team it was in the visiting dugout, as soon as that game ended, they had a guy run immediately, and there was a cable coming from a video thing.
Oh, my God. Yes. So they're like, they're even finding ways to cheat on the road. It's like the Patriots stealing the...
Crazy.
Taking video of the Bengals sideline. Everybody's cheating.
So... not good.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, what do we have on our fine program today?
We got our guy, Kyle Brandt, who's one of the most
exceptional. Good morning, football.
Entertaining, informative football guests from Good Morning Football. He's so energetic and excitable. We're going to talk a lot about Luka Doncic and what he did to the Bulls last night.
Yep. First guy on him. Who's the first guy on him, Carm?
Yurko.
That's right. I had my European scouts all over this guy.
He's been, you know, basically playing professional basketball since he was like 15, right?
I said he should have been the number one pick. Everybody, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton.
He is.
I said Doncic should be the number one pick.
He is going to be.
Anybody that knows anything about basketball after watching him play over in Europe, boy. I said.
I mean, as LeBron and KD sort of start to age out a little bit. Even Kawhi, you know, I mean, because how old's Kawhi now? About 28? How old's Kawhi Leonard, Chris? About 28?
I think 28, 29. He's getting
I'll check right now, but I think 28? You're right. Yeah.
Like, as they start to age out a little, and KD and LeBron are obviously into their 30s. I mean, this is Giannis and Doncic's league, right, in the next handful of years. AD maybe still a little bit. AD's a little bit younger.
Kawhi is 28.
He's 28. I mean, Luka Doncic in the next couple of years is going to be the best player in basketball. I mean, it's
pretty close to that now.
I mean, he might, right. I mean, like, he might not be the future. He might be the present. I mean, he is truly... remarkable.
If you still had to pick right now the best player in the NBA, would you still say LeBron?
I would still probably say LeBron, believe it or not. I think Kawhi's right there. I think Giannis.
Where's Anthony Davis?
What James Harden is doing
he's great.
Ridiculous.
He's great. He's the best scorer in the NBA. I think Doncic is in the conversation already, and he's 20.
He's a beast.
In his second year. I mean, he is progressing at a rate that is like LeBron-esque. And that's scary, man. I mean, he's just There is nothing that that kid can't do offensively.
He's amazing.
Amazing. He is truly already amazing. And even though it came at the expense of the Bulls, it was fun to watch last night. He's quickly become one of my favorite players in the league to watch. That's how you change your franchise, man. You find that guy,
Luka.
And they're going to go from having the greatest European-born player ever to the guy that's going to the guy that's going to be better than Dirk.
Did they have Drazen Petrovic?
Stop it. Drazen was awesome, but stop it. He didn't play long enough.
I know. I mean, you said the best. Did they have Drazen?
Dirk Nowitzki is unquestionably
Petrovic was the best
European-born player ever. Giannis will have something to say about that.
Did I ever tell you my story about me meeting Dirk?
Of course we've heard him. But Doncic might be better 15 years from now.
I knew you'd like that, Merk.
Got that right, kid.
How have the Mavericks done this? Who do they have scouting Europe?
We sent Gar over there 8-9 times.
You've got Ivica Dukan over there. Problem is, for every Doncic you get, you get a Dragan Bender, you get a Mario Hezonja.
A Dragon Tarlac.
Yeah, sure. You get Bogarić.
Dalibor Bogarić. You get, who's the kid, the stiff that the Pistons drafted? Darko Milicic. Milicic. He stunk. Yeah.
He's a big, huge guy now.
Is he really?
Yeah, muscled up.
He's a kickboxer and or MMA guy over there.
Darko Milicic?
Yeah, Darko Milicic. Yeah.
Like, I know what you're saying, Yurk. I mean, it is. It's not, you're going to, for every Giannis, every Doncic, there are a lot of, or every Dirks, there are a lot of big busts.
Remember, we talked to Pax on the court at the Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, and we're talking to Pax, and he introduced me to Ivica Dukan.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting there talking to him, and Pax goes, oh, you too, with all the itches. He goes, I'm going to hear about all these itches for the next 20 minutes. Well,
pay attention.
I like Ivica Dukan.
Ivica has been around forever.
Yeah. He's a European scout. His kid played for Wisconsin, right?
I think that...
Wisconsin
or Michigan?
His son, Duye, played at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Was my son's teammate on the 8th grade team.
Is that right?
Or 7th grade team, whatever it was.
Whenever they played.
And in high school. Hey, we are excitement, we are intensity, we are the Wolves. Get your fan 4-packs, including 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and a popcorn for one low price. Fan 4-packs start just $18 per ticket. Go to ChicagoWolves.com.
You know who else we're talking to at 1? Tony Boselli, Yurko's former teammate. A player I think, in my humble opinion, should be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. I know his career was cut short because of injury. But
shoulder injury.
I think it was dominant enough where he should be in. That's just my humble opinion. I've said that for a long time.
Ask him how much fun he had at the Bulls game with us a couple of years ago.
That's right. Remember that.
When Yurko wore the Jags jacket.
I
tweeted, hanging out with Tony Boselli.
I love it.
Jacksonville Jaguars, all pro. And he called in the next
day,
remember?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
I remember. So Boselli, he does games for Westwood One, so he was at the Patriot game.
Yes.
Last week, we talked to Boselli about divisional weekend coming up. We'll continue to beat the drum for Tony to go into the hall, too.
Well, I got two in there.
He gets the Dwight Stevenson treatment, if you ask me.
Sayers treatment.
And the Gail Sayers
treatment. Davis treatment.
The Terrell, thank you.
No, it's so short, it's still...
He was so dominant.
That exceptional.
He should be
Tony?
Yes.
How many years did he play?
I think it was 6.
It's short. I know. I get it.
Six before he got. He went to Houston in the expansion draft.
That's right.
And never played a down for Houston.
He was awesome.
Did you hear Dan Shaughnessy with us?
I did hear a little bit. I was doing some stuff in the office.
He said Brady would listen if the Bears called.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine that. It seems so far fetched.
You better start clearing salary now.
What is the?
You have to start clearing
Tom Brady to call.
Well, here's what the appeal is.
Here you go.
Go ahead.
I think Tom would be agreeable to listening, and I think if the Patriots don't take care of business, those situations are good. And the TB12 brand, he is the best advertisement for what he wants this to be, a global entity. If he can show that he can play NFL quarterback at 45, then that's the promotional aspect of spreading the brands. And if I were him, I would have retired last year, and the confetti was falling on my head, just won another Super Bowl. You're 41. That would have been a perfect time to walk off. That hasn't happened. Doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Chicago's as good as the Chargers or the Dolphins, or maybe better.
Okay, last one. So if you were sitting in Ryan Pace, our general manager's seat, or he picked up the phone and said, Dan, I was in my car. I was listening to you on the air with Cap. Okay, let me ask you something. I can get this guy. He will come here. I've already made some calls. It's going to cost me 2 years and $70 million, all of it guaranteed, $80 million, whatever the number is. Would you say, yeah, I probably wouldn't do that, or I would absolutely write the check?
Yeah, if I'm the Bears, I would do it. I would do that because he's probably going to be still pretty good next year. And the PR hit and the interest in your team would be off the charts.
It would be insane. And you think he would listen? That would be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Oh, I believe he'd listen to that. Absolutely.
How about that? Dan Shaughnessy, who's as plugged in as they come.
By the way, I like the way he says 41. You know, we say 41. He says 41. Yeah.
Hey, he's 41.
Tom, he's 41.
Clear salary.
The 41?
You need the clear salary now. And so you're saying goodbye to Prince. You're saying goodbye to Leonard Floyd, which is not a problem, either
could
one.
You, could you possibly
get
there?
I have no issue saying goodbye to him.
Could you possibly get to where you need to get to spend $35 million?
Trevathan will be off the books this year.
Can you imagine?
More money saved.
I would take a chance on it. That might sound crazy at his age, but I would. I still think he can play for another year or two.
Where else can you save money? I mean, that's what you've got to take a look at. And who's not going to kill you with dead cap?
Well, yeah, that's why you can't probably trade Mac, right? Even though we kicked that around a little. Like, if somebody were to give you two first picks, but you can't really trade him.
If you bring Tom in, you can't do something to your defense that's going to kill it.
Well, that's true, too.
You're already taking two pieces off.
That would be a good point. That was under the assumption that they're not.
The dead cap would kill you.
It would kill you.
You've got Hicks. You got Mac. Those two aren't going anywhere if you still want to have a good defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Roquan's staying. Eddie Jackson just signed. Those guys. Fuller's not going to go anywhere right now. Still playing at a higher level. He's not going to go anywhere. You're putting Tolliver over on the other side.
How could you possibly get to the 35?
Eddie Goldman. You need to. You got to make a decision on Eddie Goldman at that point and just go young with the rest of your linemen.
But who can you cut where dead money isn't going to kill you to even put you in a position to do it?
Well, that's why I said Eddie Goldman. What's Eddie making?
Hold
six,
on.
Seven?
I got it all for you here.
Because you're getting $24 million with only $1 million dead money with no Leonard Floyd. And with no whatchamacallit. No Leonard Floyd, no Prince McGraw.
One million in dead money.
No, okay, nothing. Here you go. And you could cut Leonard Floyd, save 13.22.
With no dead money.
No dead money. You could cut, you got dead money on Goldman. Eddie
it's
Goldman.
Not much. It's a million, like Yurko said, right?
You could cut Charles Leno and save $3 million.
Is that the dead number right there?
The dead number is right there. Oh. That is what the cap number is. That's the saving. No, yes. In red, you can't make those moves.
No, Goldman's got a lot of dead money. Yeah, a lot.
So you can't move Goldman.
Can't do it.
Goldman's $1 million in dead money.
No, you said this is the
dead. No. In dead money. Yeah, that's the net. $1 million.
Okay.
That's what you pay. That's the dead.
I got you.
But you could cut $13.222 million on Leonard Floyd. You could cut... you're going to get 8.1 back on Kyle Long. You could cut Prince and save $8 million.
Remember, some's going Eddie Jackson.
You could cut Taylor Gabriel and save 4.5.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So there you go. Then you're hoping that's enough. That's,
you want to cut Cordarrelle Patterson?
You've got
save
a little
$5
room.
Million.
I still like his versatility.
I like him, too.
You.
But if Tom Brady wants to listen to the Bears, if I'm the Bears, I would certainly be on the phone with Tom Brady. I don't know how you couldn't be.
How does that affect Trubisky? Is it a benefit for Trubisky, or is it a or do you not care?
The answer is who cares.
Okay. But it's a huge benefit.
I like that.
I don't care what
I got you on your rookie deal, and you're going to sit behind greatest of all time.
It only depends on how he takes it. Do you understand? Yeah. It depends what his attitude is. So if Trubisky's willing to sit and learn, he's great. Garoppolo was willing to sit and learn. And at some point, he wasn't willing to sit and learn anymore.
Well, yeah, but Trubisky's been a two-and-a-half-year starter. I mean, it's not like sitting and learning, really. I mean... You started for 2.5 years, and
Mitch,
you can't really
deal,
play.
Kid.
So
this popped up. We didn't see it coming.
Sorry.
Tom's coming in. We're keeping you. You're the backup.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you this. People would think a lot more positively about Ryan Pace and the Bears organization if that's something they did.
Yeah, I agree with Dan Shaughnessy. The PR hit,
yep.
The positive PR hit.
You'd have people buzzing around here.
PR bump. Oh, God.
They'd be buzzing. Now, if they didn't want to play him in the preseason, I wouldn't have an issue.
Tom Brady? He still plays a little bit usually.
I understand,
you know?
But yeah. That's with Bill Belichick. I'm saying if he didn't play here in the preseason, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But your RPO game doesn't exist.
No.
There's no run-pass option.
No.
You're changing this whole thing now. Now you're changing it. If you're bringing him in, there is no RPO. It doesn't exist.
I would heavily
consider it. Does that benefit
it?
Montgomery then?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I would heavily consider it if I were the Bears. I still think Brady can give you... A couple years, maybe, even if it's 1 year, and you know, with the defense they have, isn't that what you're looking for right now? Capitalize with this defense, and I don't think the problems in New England this year stem from Tom Brady.
You don't have to give him a signing bonus, nothing. 2 years, $70 million guaranteed. They're
done.
It's a done deal.
Would we all do that?
Yes,
I would.
Yerk?
Because of the defense that you have, if in 2 years you can't get it done, you're blowing it up anyway.
Correct.
Hicks, you're saying goodbye to. You're saying goodbye to Khalil Mack.
Absolutely.
You're saying goodbye to everybody.
I agree with you.
Everybody.
So if you can't do it in the next 2 years?
Yeah. Then you'll be saying goodbye to Ryan Pace.
And
you'll be saying goodbye to everybody.
In a heartbeat.
Chris? Our raid today. Come on.
We're ready.
We're going to the Super Bowl. I would do it.
The thoughts of not having number 10 as your quarterback is so enticing. Anything that you do.
And maybe he learns from the GOAT and becomes a better player. Yeah.
But the problem is then at that point he wants to be paid.
Who?
What do you mean, who?
Trubisky.
Yeah,
well, in 2 years,
listen,
I'll pay you.
At that point, if Tom Brady comes here, the Mitch Trubisky thing is over.
It's done?
It's done.
Well, no, but he's only going to play probably 2 years, so you're going to need him anyway.
You find another quarterback.
Yeah,
you're
whatever.
Done with Mitch Trubisky. Be done with it. If you sign Tom Brady.
Stop.
You imagine that. Do you imagine Allen Robinson with Tom Brady? I mean, he would.
I can imagine a lot of things.
He'd be Mike
with Tom
Thomas.
Brady. I can imagine Giselle walking in front of the First Midwest Bank, State Street Studio. That's what I can imagine. I what do you want from me?
Danny and Zetterman, with the Armchair Nutritionist, would go nuts.
Yes.
Tom Brady, they'd be talking about
guac ice
cream.
Tom Brady on his podcast. Yeah. They talk about the dangers of eating strawberries like maniacs.
Could you imagine?
That's good stuff. Hey, when we come back, I got some inside information on why Luka Doncic wasn't a member of the Sacramento Kings. They took Bagley.
Oh, I know. We know about that.
What was it?
It's Vlade doesn't like the father.
Yeah, the father and Vlade don't get along.
Boy, if I'm...
So you passed on him?
If I'm Vivek Ranadive, I'm like, Vlade, you're killing me here. Like, you are killing me.
What are you doing, Vlade Dottie? His name is Vlade.
Yeah, Vivek's the owner of the team. I mean, that story came out about a month ago.
Oh,
that Vlade, that reportedly Vlade doesn't like the dad. There's bad blood. And so that's why they didn't draft. That'd be like the Bears not drafting Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
Because they didn't like his dad.
Because he's black.
Right.
We had that yesterday. Like, I mean, you know, you guys are dismissing it too. I don't know one way or another. You can't prove it one way or another. I really don't know. It's nonsense. I mean, and if that's the reason, are you kidding me?
Well, and I also pointed out in 1977, they drafted a black quarterback in Vince Evans.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy that.
They had black quarterbacks.
They were one of the first teams
to ever draft a black quarterback.
They brought in Cordell Stewart
to be the savior. He stunk. But, I mean, come on.
They had a lot of saviors in between Jim McMahon. They all stunk.
But if you're the Kings right now and you're watching this, aren't you going, you couldn't find
you're
a
kidding
way to
me?
Get it? Is it like what's the ball's name? Why can't I think of his name?
Who's the ball?
The old man.
LaVar.
LaVar.
Yeah, LaVar.
I mean, is he that bad? Could he be LaVar Ball bad? And that's why he said, I'm not going to draft him. But Lonzo's not very good. This kid, like, you deal with anything.
This kid's Larry Bird.
He's better.
All right, I got to get out of your way. Merkin's freaking out in there.
Right.
By the way, follow us on Instagram at Cap and Co. And the station, it's ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are next. We will talk with you tomorrow at 9 a.m. See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Shotgun, Dalvin Cook to his left. Third and goal from the four. Kirk takes the snap. Looks right. Fade left. End zone. And it is caught. Touchdown!
Here come the Eagles. And Wilson's going to go deep downfield. And you've got an open man in Metcalf to the 50-yard line. And that, in all likelihood, will write a finish to this one.
Second and six here. Watson, pressure off the edge. Watson survives it. And then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40. Inside the 30. Inside the 20. To the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones. Deshaun Watson. Magical.
And you could be the one to dethrone the dynasty. To end it,
the two of them together. Yes, I mean, we'll never see this run again, Jim.
Brady's pass is intercepted and returned for a touchdown by Logan Ryan, the former Patriot.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Wild card weekend was simply fantastic. Hopefully, the division round is just as good. With the completion of wild card weekend, we had the completion of the Patriots season in 2019. For the first time in a decade, they won't be playing in the NFL's second weekend of the postseason. That's incredible when you think about it. And maybe it brought to an end the Tom Brady era in New England. It still seems hard for me to believe, even harder to believe, that he'd come to the Chicago Bears. But we played you Dan Shaughnessy during Crosstalk, who was on with Catman earlier today. And Dan's pretty plugged in when it comes to all things Boston and New England Patriot football, and he thinks Tom Brady absolutely would listen to the Bears, and he thinks they'd be just as attractive as the Chargers or the Dolphins or anywhere else he might want to go to push that TB12 brand. The idea of Tom Brady playing here next year, forget about it. Like, my head will explode.
Of Patriot fans burning the number 12 jersey, and I don't know if you saw some of that video on Twitter.
That's idiotic.
It was there. It is idiotic. It's absolutely stupid, especially for what he's done for New England over the course of time.
Six Super Bowls.
But yet there they were. There they were.
Dope.
Spray can in hand. Dope. Lighter. Lighting it on fire, wondering why it wouldn't light. That was gasoline in there,
guys. I'm going to put a little gasoline on there. Complete, total dopes. Yeah, yeah. It's as simple as
idiocy.
That.
Pure idiocy.
So we kick things off with our good buddy, Kyle Brandt. He's one of our favorites. He joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. He's at Kyle Brandt on Twitter. You watch him on Good Morning Football every morning on the NFL Network. You know, you're a Bears fan. My head would explode. And maybe it would blow up in their face because, let's face it, he's 41, 42 years old. But I'd take Tom Brady for a year or two with this defense, wouldn't you?
I love jersey burning guy on the internet. I mean, it's such a distinct character.
I'd like to see him get his own shirt caught on fire.
Yeah. I mean, aren't we all kind of rooting for that?
Yes.
Like, oops, a little kerosene fell on my jeans and now I'm on fire.
Dope.
Oh, it's the same guy on the 4th of July who has like 6.5 fingers and lets the bottle rocket right in his face. But yeah, Tom Brady and the Bears, it would be like some sort of weird acid trip fever dream, and I think they'd be good. But my personal take, and I love Shaughnessy. He's the Boston Hammer. He's got the REO Speedwagon haircut. I love him. But I don't think Tom Brady's leaving New England. I've thought about it. I've thought through it. I've talked to anybody I can talk to about it. I think it comes down to Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft is a billionaire who gets what he wants, and I think that his biggest nightmare, really, of his life would be to turn on NFL football this fall and to see Tommy in it, as he calls him, in another uniform. I really don't. I think Robert Kraft is what he's going to do this offseason, maybe now, is you take Tommy on a really nice boat and give him a really nice cigar and you lay out a plan about we're going to pay you and we're going to get you weapons. Like, Tom Brady's in his 40s, guys. Like, all we want in our 40s is some money and some fancy toys. And we're going to go get you A.J. Green and Eric Ebron. And I promise, Tommy, just don't go play for the Chargers. Please don't go play for the Bears. I want to keep it. I think he's going to keep him.
I think he's going to stay, too. I just think it still gives him the best chance. I think he's going to look at this at the end of the day and say, my best chance to still win is New England. Mm-hmm. And being with Belichick, whether he feels like he hasn't been loved enough by Belichick, whether he feels like he wants to go somewhere else to help push his TB12 brand.
Is he a sentimentalist? Is that what he is?
At the end of the day, I think he likes winning more than anything else. And I think he wants to win another one. Nobody has 7 Super Bowl rings. Is that right?
Yeah, no, that's it. 7. Nobody's got 7. Haley, I think, has 6 or 5. Romanowski has a whole bunch of them, but no, 6.
But I think, a couple guys have 6, as impossible as that seems to do. I think he'd like to say he can hold up 7 fingers someday and say, look at this. And I think the best place for him to win another Super Bowl in the next year or two is still going to be New England. And I think that's why he'll stay there.
You know what? It's funny, the huge power broker in this. It sounds so backwards, but the Cleveland Browns play a big role in this, in the sense that if the Browns decide to go a direction where Josh McDaniels is their head coach, then it's like that makes it even harder for Brady to stay, because now I got a new coordinator. That's going to push it a little more difficult. So of all the teams, I think the Cleveland Browns are playing a role in this. And I know that a lot of people it's fun to just take shots at what team could he land on, and the networks and newspapers do their photoshops of Brady in different uniforms. Like, I really, really can't see him becoming a Los Angeles Charger, because people are saying, well, they could sell tickets and what does that do for Brady? He's going to move to L.A. The Chargers do not have a fan base. They're trying as hard as they can. It doesn't exist. They don't even have a stadium yet. Because they have a good running back and receivers, that you think Tom Brady really moves the needle for him? He's going to change the whole deal? I don't see it. I still think New England.
What do we take with the drop in the price of his home by $8 million? Do we take anything from that? Yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering if maybe now he is going to absolutely move. And, you know, we got some great property here up on the north side here on the Gold Coast. I think
where would he live? In north side, or is he going to go way up to Winnetka or something like that?
I think he's got to go up to Lake Forest up there.
Because it's close to the facility, yeah.
Could look, nice I homes see him as maybe like a, where was that? I think Urlacher lived in Mettawa, like one of those, like, it's kind of farmy out there. There's Mettawa. I can see a Mettawa.
I could see him buying a mansion there and buying a mansion in the Gold Coast. I mean, like, it's Tom Brady. I mean, you know, he could have a couple of mansions, couldn't he?
We'll find it. Well, he's got that Victoria's Secret money. He's got it all. Yeah,
depends what Giselle wants, really.
Find some good spots for him.
I wonder how Giselle would fit into Chicagoland. Is she going to be in North? If she going to be at Hawthorne Mall? I don't know if she is.
Listen, there's Michigan Avenue is one of the ritziest shopping.
Sure.
They don't call it the Mag Mile for nothing. Yeah, they don't have that in Boston.
The Louis Vuitton got hit last night, Ken.
But listen, if he's going to be a close to the facility guy, Giselle's going to be up, you know, on Lake Cook Road in Lincolnshire. I don't know if that's going to fly, guys.
Kyle Brandt's our guest from the NFL Network. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Wild card weekend was great. Sometimes you get a dud or two in there, but not last weekend. The road teams kind of rule the weekend. Man. The dogs, I mean, barking. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
All right. So Bills Texans was absolutely insane. Yeah. Cards on the table, guys. I've never experienced the heavy drugs. I've just not gotten into that. I felt like I was on them watching that game. Like I was on some sort of high. Like Boog and Tess were at a 10, and the Bills were up, and then they were down, and Deshaun Watson was doing these crazy things. And at some point, I swear, there was a 4th and 27 in the middle of the game that the Bills decided to go for. And then lost like 50 yards on the sack. It was one of the more bat bleep insane playoff games I've watched. And it was just the opening round.
Hey, you think this weekend can match it?
Well, I think we get caught up in wildcard weekend. It's so fun because, oh my God, we've waited 4.5 months and we're in the playoffs. And wildcard weekend is great. But the best teams don't play. Like it's, I think the divisional round is the best weekend of football all year. Yeah. Sometimes the title games turn into butt kickings. Wildcard game's fun, but it's like, it's kind of like the undercard at WrestleMania before, like, the big, big tag teams come out.
Right.
And as much as I liked last week, I don't know. The Ravens this week coming out and the Packers and the Niners. I also think this weekend's going to be good because, like, it stinks like some upsets are coming.
Yeah.
Not only because there's some good teams, but, like, the momentum that the Vikings are going to have from doing what they did in Cousins' psyche, and the momentum that what the Titans are going to have going against Baltimore, like I think some teams are really on upset alert.
This is what's crazy to me, especially as a bettor, that this is divisional weekend, like Kyle said. Mm-hmm. This is where you normally get the best football, and maybe that's reflective of these Lions because you've got a couple of great teams that are coming off the bye, they're rested. But three of the four games are a touchdown or more point spread. Yes.
What's the biggest one?
The biggest two, the Ravens and the Chiefs at home, are both 10-point favorites.
They've been bet up to 10.
The money's come in on the Ravens and the Chiefs. And there's money, a little money on the Niners now, too, because that's out to a touchdown spread, a 7-point spread. So in two games in divisional weekend, you've got double-digit point spreads, which I feel like you don't see very often.
Which one do you think is the tastiest? What do you like?
Well, I like the Vikings getting the points. I've already said that. I don't think I want to step in front of the Ravens right now. Although covering 10 points in a playoff game, I think is tough. But I think it'd be silly to bet against Baltimore.
Here's what I think, though, about it. The Titans have this thing going where, like, they remind me of an NCAA tournament team. Like, they have the hottest player in the tournament in Derrick Henry. They have Taya Sedney, Mateen Cleaves, Ali Farouk Manesh, Pitsnoggle, you name it. Like, they have the Adam Morrison where, like, your team might be better, but we have a guy who can drop 38 points and win it for us. And, like, I just think the Titans having come in off that and having the hot player. Now, don't get me wrong, Lamar is incredible. I just also think, I don't know if this is ignorant, but I've heard other people say it. Sometimes the bye can be a little overrated. Like, you certainly get time off, you can chill out for a little bit, but your reward is whatever team you're playing is coming off this massive, seminal, emotional win. So Tennessee going in there, who cares? Everybody expects us to lose. Let's run the hell out of Derrick Henry 30 times and see if we can take him out.
Yeah, the bye can sometimes bite teams. I mean, it happened to Peyton Manning and the Colts a lot.
It happened to Denver in 96. It happened to
Aaron Rodgers in that 15-1 Packers team.
My old buddy, I'm sure we all know, Jim Miller, the former quarterback. Yeah. Look at the 0-1 Bears team. Yeah. Unbelievable team. Anthony Thomas, the A-Train, Urlacher, Mike Brown. they go through this crazy 13-3 season. They show up in the playoffs finally after some rest, and they just get rolled. And yeah. I know that Jim has said he thinks that the byes are overrated. I think a bye team is going to lose this weekend. I think it could be San Francisco, and I think it could be Baltimore.
Mm. How about all the coaching moves here so far? What do you like? What Matt Rhule did at Temple and at Baylor is impressive. Very impressed, especially the job he did at Baylor, considering what he walked into. So I'm a fan, but there's always something different when you're taking that next leap. And I get it. He's been coached by Belichick. He's been coached by Saban. But there's always something different when you're about to take that next step, right?
Yeah, sure. And he's an interesting case where he's this incredibly gregarious and fun personality. And he has this thing that I've always kind of respected and been intrigued by, where he doesn't stamp himself as an offensive or defensive guy. He's not the quarterback guru. He's not an old-fashioned defensive guy. He's like, I do both. So his is interesting because his first decision is the giant Cam Newton elephant in the room. Like, are we going to try to make this work or get him out of here? Yeah. From what I saw from the contract that I think Schefter tweeted, it's a ton of money for a really long time, which means basically, I don't know, do what you want. You're going to be here a while. Go 3-13 this year, build it. I think that means get rid of Cam and start afresh. But people here in New York are losing their minds. Like right now, what's going on with the Giants? They thought they were going to get Matt Rhule. He gets taken. And now they just hired Joe Judge.
What are they saying?
Patriots receivers coach. And it's wild. The joke right now is that the Giants are the Knicks. And they're getting second choice. And now Joe Judge, the optics of it are bad. First of all, it sounds like everyone's making Judge Joe Brown jokes, which is this is fine normally, but this is the Giants. Then they're saying that, so he's the wide receivers coach. Let me get that straight, the Patriots. The Patriots wide receivers, which universally underachieved and disappointed and led to the end of their season, their coach is getting it, not their coordinator, McDaniels, Judge. And then there's this I find hilarious. Joe Judge, as it turns out, is a former gym teacher for kids. He's a gym teacher. The man who hired him, Dave Gettleman, a former gym teacher.
Oh, boy.
So the Giants will take great attendance and do great calisthenics and win one of those presidential fitness awards that was always impossible. But I don't know about the NFC East. That pegboard used to tear me up.
So how did they arrive on Joe Judge then, you think? I mean, he's got some special teams
background. He must have been the most brilliant interview ever.
Right.
It's just breaking now. And everyone said, well, you know, McDaniels, Rhule, and then, you know, there's these crazy outlandish ones like Lincoln Riley and Urban Meyer and stuff. But the Giants are always that, old-fashioned, weird Procter & Gamble, Sears Roebuck, we will do this traditionally. I thought they would hire McCarthy or Rivera. Just solid football men who have done really well. Joe Judge, I still am trying to learn about him right now. I know he's the Pats receivers coach, and I know the Pats receivers were really rough this year.
One of my favorite segments on Good Morning Football is Angry Runs, where Kyle highlights the truly angry runs each and every week in the NFL. Taysom Hill was featured prominently after the weekend, of course. We were kicking that around yesterday. Could Taysom Hill somehow improve the Bears' quarterback room? I mean, the problem is, as Waddle pointed out yesterday, he's thrown 20 passes in the NFL, and he's 29 years old. I mean, you know, he went to BYU. I think he did his mission right, so he's older.
Yeah.
He's not a young kid. I mean, if anything, you bring him in because he could be a valuable weapon for you in the different ways that New Orleans uses him. I guess any team could use him. But is he really an upgrade for someone in a quarterback room in terms of being a passer that's got to throw 25 times a game?
First of all, I'm always so encouraged by how constructive and creative you guys are in trying to fix the Bears quarterback issue.
Yes.
I mean, we really tried everything.
Yeah. Well, now we're asking about a guy that's thrown 20 passes. You know, it's are you kidding?
I remember when it was in the midseason after Tua got hurt. There was a plan to, now Tua is going to fall to the second round.
Yep.
Now the Bears can get him. We've had Andy Dalton conversations, Mariota conversations. And now, listen, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Taysom Hill. Fantastic player. Yurko, you said it. I think he's thrown 20 passes, but they've been a beautiful 20 passes. From what I hear, Sean Payton is in full-blown love with Taysom Hill and would not let him get out of the building. Taysom Hill, I think, between Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees, was the best quarterback in the building yesterday. So I don't think he's coming to Hallis Hall.
Hall of Fame, 15 finalists. What do you think? Who's getting in? Which five names, if you had a vote, would you put in?
Polamalu, for sure. I think this is a year that's actually pretty interesting, Yurko, because I think this is a year where there aren't a bunch of juggernauts on the first ballot.
Right.
Meaning that I think some guys who have been waiting could get in. I personally, the guy that I've always been really passionate for is Zach Thomas. And he's a finalist this year. And I just think you look at the teams that, you know, Jason Taylor is a Hall of Famer. And he's a great player. From what I remember watching football, I thought Zach Thomas was a better football player than Taylor. Take Zach Thomas's numbers, some of the big ones, games played, tackles, all of that, put them side by side with Brian Urlacher, they're better. And Urlacher went in first ballot. So Thomas, I would love to get in. Beyond that, I think Hutchinson was fantastic. I would like him to get in. Reggie Wayne, wouldn't mind if he waited or not. And, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame elitist. I'm kind of a one percenter. My take has always been if you have to ask if they're a Hall of Famer, they're not.
Yeah.
So those are the guys that stick out to me. Is there anybody that your heart's beating for, Yurko?
Well, you know, we're going to have Tony Boselli on at 1 o'clock.
Sure.
We wonder if we give him the Dwight Stevenson, Gale Sayers, Terrell Davis rule.
Yeah.
You know, because he was so exceptional, even though it was a short period of time. Do we go ahead and induct him and put him in? The interesting thing is you said Troy Polamalu right away,
yep.
And then I always tell these guys.
There goes Yurko.
I compare the numbers. 38 interceptions to 32. That's Leroy Butler on top. They both played 12 seasons. Sacks, 20.5 to 12.5. Leroy Butler actually invented the position that Troy Polamalu played. He was the first one under Ray Rhodes to go ahead and be utilized in that role where he'd play in the box and he'd go crazy and he'd have himself a little bit of fun and play that poach position and play the run equally as effectively as anybody else. If you go to Troy Polamalu's football reference page, the first comparable is Leroy Butler.
So, no kidding.
This is a long way of saying Yurko wants Leroy Butler in, too, which I'm fine with because he was great.
But the evidence needs to be there. And so what
great.
I'm telling you, he had more interceptions.
Yeah.
He had more sacks. They're almost identical in forced fumbles and fumble recoveries.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is if Polamalu's an automatic and Kyle's basically saying, yes, Polamalu is an automatic, then Leroy Butler needs to be an automatic also.
But Leroy didn't have the hair. Let's remember that.
Well, he didn't have the hair and he didn't have the head and shoulders commercial.
Exactly.
But what's that got to do with the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
He might have a legacy, though, that's underappreciated. Is he, in fact, the inventor of the Lambeau Leap?
He was,
because
yes.
I heard that I think Terrell Buckley took credit at one point.
No,
he was also a great player.
Buckley does not get credit for it. It was December 26, 1993. Reggie White recovered a fumble, pitched to Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler ran into the end zone, jumped into the stands,
and that was
the birth of the Lambeau Leap.
There it is.
Well, that's massive. Canton loves that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. Kyle, even that's on his resume.
Enjoy divisional weekend. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Can't wait, guys. Love you. See you soon.
All right, talk to you. That's Kyle Brandt, at Kyle Brandt on Twitter. And by the way, it's not 20 passes for Taysom Hill. It's 15. That's postseason and regular season.
Is he 15 of 15?
In his career. No, he's not, Yurko. He's thrown 15 passes in the NFL, and we're so desperate to try to fix the quarterback position that it's got us thinking, should they throw money at Taysom Hill to get him out of New Orleans? Because that's the answer. I mean, that's like kind of absurd, isn't it? A 29-year-old quarterback that's thrown, he'll be 30, by the way, next year when the season starts. You had a 30-year-old quarterback that's thrown 15 passes in the NFL. How could that be the answer at quarterback?
It
seems impossible, doesn't
it's
it, Yurko?
Not the answer at quarterback. That's why. You're asking, he's not the answer at quarterback.
You know, that's how bad it's gotten.
I know, it's desperate, but he's definitely not the answer at quarterback. You've already got a kind of a Cordarrelle Patterson guy that does a lot of that
stuff that he does.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Except throw the ball.
Right, agreed.
And only because they haven't asked him to throw the ball. They're so convinced Mitch Trubisky can do it that they don't want to ask Cordarrelle Patterson to go ahead and do it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I like the discussion. I like football talk, and getting Kyle on is absolutely fantastic.
He's the best, man.
Love that
I'm telling
guy.
You. We're going to have Tony Boselli on in about 10 minutes. We look forward to that. Yurko's old teammate. Is Tony a finalist again? Is he on that
list?
Yeah,
he's final 15.
I would think, right?
Boselli, Fanica, Steve Hutchinson.
Yeah, Boselli.
Three offensive linemen.
Fanica was awfully good.
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I played against Fanica as a rookie. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
1998, he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow, yeah, he was awfully good.
I think he played right or left guard, boy, one of them, boy, and he stayed there a long time. Alan Fanica, tough.
Yeah, and then on to the Jets, right? Pittsburgh and then the Jets,
so.
I think,
yeah.
For Fanica.
And then Hutchinson played with three teams, Seattle.
So we'll talk to Hutchinson,
Seattle,
Minnesota.
And one more at the end of his career.
I don't even remember that. Yeah, so we'll talk to Tony Boselli a little bit. He's going to he did one of the divisional games for one of the wild card games for Westwood One over the weekend. So we'll talk a little NFL with him. We'll get into Bulls last night and their loss in Dallas. What is that, four in a row now? But really the story is watching, I think it's four in a row.
They're 11 games under 500, which is their low water mark of the season.
Props to Lauri Markkanen for playing in that game.
Lauri
played well, too.
Yeah.
You know, Lauri has definitely been better. Unfortunately, they lost Wendell Carter Jr. He had an ankle injury. The X-rays were negative. He said he might try to play tomorrow, but it looked bad. So I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow when they go to New Orleans or not. But, yeah, they had another injury last night, but it didn't really matter. I mean, the story of the night was Luka Doncic, so we'll talk about that a little bit during the 1 o'clock hour. More on the NFL, what the Bears can do, what the divisional weekend is going to look like with our guy Tony Boselli coming up next. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Breeze at the top of the screen. Hill keeps. Hill picks it up. Crosses the 45. Taysom Hill gets 11. Hill gonna throw. Deep down the middle. Harris! Got it! How about that play with Breeze on the sideline? On first down. End zone. Hill! What a game! Taysom Hill! Touchdown! Here's a direct snap. Another first down for Taysom Hill. Spins out of a couple of tackles and takes it up near the 47, and this crowd crazy for number 7. Instead, this just a straight run to the left. They can't stop him. He's still going. Taysom Hill, 28-yard carry.
Well, Anthony Harris comes up. He's got a chance to make a tackle on it. He just refuses. He lowers his shoulder like he's Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he goes beast mode on him.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Fox, Sunday. It was the Taysom Hill show. I mean, it was like a one-man wrecking crew out there. But you know what? It didn't matter. Vikings won the game. Saints never even touched it in overtime. Then we get into the whole, everybody should get a chance in overtime.
I've got no problem with it. It's the problem when you start altering rules. They're never going to be happy that they completely change it.
That's true.
Period. It never should have changed.
People just like complaining, Yurko.
Never should have changed. It should have stayed the same way all the time. You win the toss, you get the ball, you kick a field goal, it's over. Who cares? Sudden death. Sudden death.
Yeah, you don't even like that change, huh? No. You just think straight sudden death?
Because I know how people are.
Yeah.
They never will be happy, ever.
You give them an inch, they take a mile.
It doesn't matter. They're just going to complain. That's what people like doing.
Yeah, too bad, so sad for the Saints. I mean, we love us from Sean
Payton. Opportunity. But they had four quarters not to go into overtime. They should have got the job done.
Three of the four road teams won during the wild card weekend. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. We get out to our guest line and we say hi to one of our favorites, Yurko's old buddy, his former teammate.
Good man.
Tony Boselli, who was on the call for one of those road wins. He was for Westwood One in Foxborough doing the New England game. Titans went in there and won. And he's back on the road going to the West Coast this weekend for Vikings and 49ers. Tony, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, boys. And Yurko, I agree with most of what you said. Everyone's going to complain no matter what. So why do we change all the rules? And the worst rule change in the history of the NFL is this pass interference review crap we do now.
It's brutal, isn't it?
I agree. I mean, it's almost like they've redefined pass interference now. You see zero face guarding calls. There's no contact after 5 yards anymore. Everybody can just go ahead and hold on to whoever he wants and run and have a good time. They've set offensive football back 5 years this year.
Do you think they'll change that? They'll go back in the offseason?
I hope so. Just go back to it. Like, this is what we do in the NFL. We, like, have these knee-jerk reactions. Listen, the call last year for the Saints against the Rams was atrocious. It was terrible. I mean, great. It happens, unfortunately. It's part of sports. It's humanity. I mean, there's humans involved. It's going to be messed up. And I just think making a change where we try to get everything perfect is stupid. I mean, it's dumb.
It's
too much, and just go back to how we used to do it.
Do you think you witnessed the end of the Tom Brady era in New England for that game on Saturday?
I don't know. I go back and forth. Right afterwards, I said yes. Then I listened to the press conference, and you hear Mr. Kraft. And, you know, you got to believe the Krafts are going to go lobby hard to Belichick to bring Brady back. But, don't you get the sense that Belichick doesn't want him back?
Kind of.
But he's kind of ready to go on to the next stage, which I don't know what that is. I mean, I guess Stidham, the rookie, maybe go there and go get somebody. But I could be swayed either way right now with the Brady conversation.
Is the quarterback the only issue they have in New England? I mean, there's a thousand issues they've got up there.
It's the least of the issues. How about not having a tight end? about having not having a receiver who can win? I think their backs are okay. I'd like the offensive line to get David Andrews back. Is, you know, it's going to get better because Isaiah Wynn was a, you know, first year player at the left side. Defensively, you know, they're really good. I mean, they got gashed against the Titans by Derrick Henry, but if you look at it, they only gave up 14 points.
Yeah,
that's pretty good in today's NFL. I mean, they, you know, it was right after season average, so. Defensively, you know, like a pass rusher, someone who could win one-on-one, so you don't have to always trick them up to get it done. So, but overall, they need some help on offense. They're just not very explosive. They couldn't finish drives. They were, you know, they were at the back end of red zone offense, only converting 50% touchdowns this year. So,
yeah.
Not a very good unit.
Derrick Henry is like the baddest man on the block right now, isn't he? And how are the Ravens going to deal with him this weekend?
Yeah, he's pretty good. You know, but, I mean, the Ravens have a good defense. They're top 10, I think, this year, and they'll have a game plan to slow him down. And I think they'll do okay, but even if he gets off a little bit, you know, Tannehill's going to have to play better than he did week one. And it was a tough matchup against the Patriots. They have a great pass defense, great blitz scheme and pressure scheme, so, and they got after him a little bit. So the key is slowing down Derrick Henry. There's no doubt about that. I agree with it. But if you're the Ravens, you better not allow the play action pass to get you, because that was really what's down the stretch for the Titans, was winning them games where they were scoring about 30 points a game. Yes, it was Henry running good, but it was what they were able to do off that run, and they didn't do that against New England. So I think the play action pass, you know, that portion of the game is going to be as big as anything for both teams.
You're going out for Vikings Niners. Talking to Tony Boselli on ESPN 1000. It's Carmen and Yurko. Vikings have Big Mo on their side for sure. How's that momentum going to sort of factor in and help them in this matchup against Jimmy G and the Niners this weekend?
Oh, I think it's big. I mean, Yurko, you remember in 96. I mean, you get going, you win a football game, you go on the road again, you feel good about yourself, feeling like you can't be beaten. And I like the Vikings in this game. I think it's a 7-point spread right now. I think it's going to be a real close game. You look at the 49ers down the stretch, I don't think they were playing their best football. They had a bunch of injuries. But that defensive front, man, they're good. They got four guys who can get after you and both run and the pass. So, the key is stopping Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
If they shut down Dalvin Cook and made Kirk Cousins put the team on his back. He made some great throws. Made some great throws against the Saints. That last one to Thielen was just big time. Under pressure, perfect. Loved it. But I still think if I'm a betting man, if I'm Robert Saul, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, I'm saying, you know what, we're going to load the box. We're going to play that single high safety. They play cover three all the time, some man. But we're going to take our chances that Kirk Cousins can't beat us over 60 minutes.
Well, you know, that defense for San Francisco only gave up 281 yards a game. So this is truly going to be a test. And it might to be Kirk Cousins that goes ahead and gets it done. But of the two quarterbacks, only one of them attended Eastern Illinois University. And that's guy, true. Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo. All we do is produce quarterbacks out of that school. Jimmy G, this guy could be the difference. I mean, we didn't know who was going to step at the wide receiver position, but they've had wide receivers step up all year, too.
Yeah, I know they have, but Yurko, I know you're a big, love Jimmy G. You know, he's a lot of love there for him, but isn't the strength of this 49er offense the run game? I mean, look when Breida stepped up. I mean, they've been pounding it. And that's what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. If you look at what Kyle does, it's all about moving the pocket off the zone scheme. And if they get that zone scheme going, inside-outside zone, they're going to run nakeds and half-nakeds, bootlegs with Jimmy G. And then that's where I think he's at his best. And that's when you don't have to worry about it. And then that's where Kittle gets involved, the tight end. And, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, you have a bunch of guys that, you know, are good receivers, not great. I think Kittle's a great tight end. But I think that's the key. I mean, and this is what I love. I mean, we live in an era where it's all about passing football and like, oh, the quarterbacks and how many yards you throw for and all this nonsense. But you look at, like, what do we talk about in the playoffs? Like, who can run the ball and who can stop the run?
And it's all these teams that were successful during the year that are still alive.
Yes.
I mean, it's all these good running teams.
But Mike Zimmer doesn't have the element of surprise this week with what he did last week by switching his ends inside.
Yeah.
Sendeo is the third safety playing a nickelback back there. That element of surprise is not there. You've seen it. You've looked at it and said, oh, these were the adjustments that he made. Okay, We'll put that down. We'll prepare for that. We'll prepare for anything. There's really not many surprises you've got left now. You did it to beat New Orleans. Now you've got to go out there and you've got to beat them with your base package and you've got to go after them. So I wish them the best of luck. I don't know if the Vikings get it done. I think this is one of those that San Francisco's been waiting there patiently. Yeah. They hear everything. They see the big Mo. Okay, here we come. And I think San Francisco walks in this one.
Well, I don't know if they walk. I like
think they
San
walk
Francisco.
In this one. Mm. Yeah.
Look at down the stretch. Tell me the last time the 49ers really walked in the game.
And every one of their games was close the last five weeks.
Everything's tight.
Right. And that's everything's because early tight. On their schedule was a little bit looser and a little bit easier. Then their schedule got tough down the stretch. Take a look at San Francisco's schedule. It got tough down the stretch.
I agree with you. I just think this is another tough game. I think this is a game where, you know, for entertainment purposes only, you know, the seven's a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's a tight game. I think it goes down to the end. I think it's you know, a late turnover, big field goal. I mean, something like that, you know, a big sack. You know, something that happens in the fourth quarter that kind of swings the game.
I'm with Tony.
And I do think it's the 49ers who win it because I like their – you know, both fronts are great.
Yeah, listen.
Both defenses are really good, but I like that front four.
Cinderella, it's going to – it's striking midnight, and the old chariot's going to turn into a pumpkin, and Cousins is going to revert back to being Cousins, and they'll all be scratching their heads at the end of this one as San Francisco goes into the NFC Championship game. You heard it here first.
There you go. Yurko said
it. I love it. Yurko with some conviction, strong conviction.
Tony Baselli's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. How about the only game we haven't talked about too much yet, Packers and Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks are beat half to hell. They're losing offensive linemen. You know, they're pulling Marshawn Lynch in off the street. But Russell Wilson still takes that team on the road. Granted, the starting quarterback for the opposing team gets hurt. How difficult of a challenge is it going to be for them in Lambeau this weekend?
Well, I think it's real tough. I haven't looked at this game much, but I'm not sold on the Packers more than anything. I'm just not. I mean, I know they won, you know, what, 13 games this year, and you know, I know they got Aaron Rodgers and everything's, you know, rosy up there right now. But there's something about them that I don't know if it's a lot. Is there a toughness about them that you know I want to see, or you know what happened through adversity and everything else? It's something about, I'm not sure what it is. I think Seattle is. I love Russell Wilson. I love how they play. They're going to keep it close. That's just who, you know, that's what Pete Carroll teams do. I mean, it looks ugly. It's nasty. Like, there's like no way they have a chance to win it. And next thing you know, you're looking in the fourth quarter, they have the ball with a chance to win the football game. With all that said, I think Lambeau's tough this time of year. It's going to be cold and miserable. And the Packers are the healthier team, so I'd probably go with the Packers at the end of the day.
Yeah, Tony, Carmen will tell you that they've been outgained this year by like 1,300 yards.
Well, I don't know if it's that much, but they were
opposing offense.
They were outgained for most of the year.
For a long time, is well over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And that's why it kind of looks ugly, and that's the one Carmen always looked at throughout the year going, I just don't buy them as that team that's winning so many games. It just doesn't, you know, feel good. It doesn't smell good. The same reservations that you have.
Right.
But what they did do in the offseason with the acquisitions of the two Smiths.
They're good on defense.
They've been able to come in. They pressured the quarterback. They've done exactly what they were supposed to do. And their ability to run the ball, again, there it is again, their ability to run the ball with Aaron Jones, and all of a sudden pressure the quarterback. Now this team's a different team that's not totally relying upon Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and a group of misfit toys at the rest of the wide receiver and tight end positions.
Yeah.
Because he has developed zero chemistry with anybody else but maybe Lazard. The sixth wide receiver, Lazard, has developed some chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a question mark as they go into that one. That's going to be tighter than we think.
Watson or Mahomes?
It'll be interesting. How about the fact that you talk about the rushers, the two Smith guys, but I think Russell Wilson nullifies that roster a little bit with his ability to scramble. I mean, it lessens the impact I think they're going to have.
Yeah. Watson or Mahomes in the other AFC game?
No, Mahomes all day.
Chiefs are
all
going.
Day.
All right.
What about you, kid?
Hey,
you're
getting in the hall. We've been saying it for a long time, and it's not just because you're on there. I've always said it. You get the Dwight Stevenson treatment in my book. I know your career was short because
of that injury. 7 years.
But it was dominant. What do you think? You hearing good things? Do you get a sense at all?
Here's the thing, and you guys know this in this business. Like I only hear the good things because no one's going to have the, no one's going to come up and tell me what, you know, they don't think I should be in. Everyone's nice this time of year. And so I've yet to have the person hey, I don't think you're a Hall of Famer. I mean, it is. I don't know. We'll see. I hope it happens, obviously. I mean, I think that's probably the dumbest statement I've made all day. But we'll wait and see.
Yurko's always spoken about Tom Coughlin with great affinity. I mean, you know, even though he was hard on you guys, Yurko would tell stories. He always respected him as a coach and likes him very much. I would imagine you have some of those same thoughts all the years with Tom. Well, what went so wrong this time around, Tony? And, like, the way it ended, having to fire him early and all these grievances, like, where did Tom kind of lose control again a little bit?
Boy, we need to, like, have an hour conversation over a beer on that one. It's very unfortunate, but I wonder deep down, did Tom ever really embrace the role of being the front office, you know, executive? I think there was a part of them that wanted to still be the coach, and I think that makes it tough. I think it makes it tough on him because I think the majority of the responsibility of that job is over scouting and personnel, making sure you get that right, and they've had all kinds of trouble in that area. And then I think it also makes it tough for the existing coach when you have a legend, you know, sitting across the hallway, and that's what he still wants to do. So I think there's just a lot of factors, and we can have a longer discussion another time. But I will say this. It's never as simple as just, it's one guy's fault. You know, a lot of times in the NFL, that's what happens. We fire one guy, and it's, you know, kind of put all in one person. But it's never that easy in the NFL. It's way more complex than that. But it just didn't work, and I think the you know, kind of the final nail in the coffin was the NFLPA's letter that was so strong, and it was pretty much everyone knew where that was directed, and I think Shad Khan had enough at that point.
Foles or Minshew?
I think I go Minshew right now. I mean, I'm of the belief, and it's really been an evolution for me this year. I think you have to have a mobile quarterback. You have to have a guy who's athletic and buy time in today's NFL. There's just not many guys who can just sit in the pocket and can't move and operate at a high level. Unless you just have a grade-A offensive line, which the Jaguars do not, you have to have a guy who can buy time.
Tony, I have a good trip out west. Enjoy that game. Yep. And we appreciate the time. It's good catching up with you.
All right, guys. Anytime.
See you, buddy. Tony Vaselli from Westwood One, Yurko's former teammate. Might get into the Hall. He's one of the 15 finalists. You got a few former teammates on that list. Your guy, Leroy Butler, is down in that final 15 again, who's a great player. Yurko's always banged the drum for him. You need to get into that room and tell everybody. Well, that's what you got to do.
I've made a couple of impassioned pleas, and what I got to do is get to the guys that are in the room.
Yeah.
Just to compare the numbers. This is not complicated, guys.
Remember, for years, Dan Hampton wasn't in.
Right.
And it was Don Pearson who finally...
Yeah.
Provided enough sort like context and data and said, and he convinced that room, like, you guys don't realize, let me show you with the numbers how good he was, what he meant to the defense. So sometimes they just need that guy who can really put it so plainly and clearly and have the numbers to support it. And maybe nobody's done a good enough job of that for Leroy, but he was a hell of a player.
The only plea I have is that I'm not arguing against Polamalu.
Of course you're not. I know you're not.
Atwater and Lynch's numbers don't compare to both of these individuals. Yeah. So I'm just putting them to the side real quick. And I'm not even saying that those two don't deserve to be in. Those two might deserve to be in also. But if Troy Polamalu is such an automatic, then just put the numbers together, and if one has better numbers, then as automatic as Polamalu should be, it should also be as automatic for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got 15 guys that are probably going to be in the Hall at some point. You're a final 15 guy. You're probably going into the Hall.
At some point.
Just when?
Yeah.
When are you going to go into the Hall? That's the debate you have.
Matter of when. The latest turn in the developing case of MLB investigating the Houston Astros now includes the Boston Red Sox, according to...
Yep.
This is a story. I found this on Boston CBS earlier this morning. In November, MLB opened up an investigation into potential sign stealing by the Astros. The investigation was broad. It's now ensnared the Red Sox in controversy. According to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, during their 2018 regular season, a historic run, the Red Sox illegally used their video replay room to try to steal opposing team sign sequences. The replay room was designed so that teams could have staff members watch plays closely and then signal the manager whether or not a play should be challenged. According to the report, some players would walk into that room during games to learn the sign sequence opponents were using. The report was careful to note that this method of sign stealing was not particularly effective.
And in the postseason, MLB essentially assigned a guard to all the replay rooms to ensure that no players could use the replay room for such shenanigans. The Ken Rosenthal story goes on at length. If you want to check it out at The Athletic, we discussed this during Crosstalk with Cap a little bit. I think we all sort of agree that once you cross the line of casually, maybe not even so casually, just paying attention closely enough to steal another team's signs, hey, more power to you. You want to use that to your advantage? Go ahead. Is it cheating? Yeah, it is. But it's always sort of been looked at as like, if you can do it, go ahead and do it. The minute you start using technology,
video cameras,
replay, coordination on headsets, or, you know, then it starts to get into...
If they catch them in baseball, they should be fined heavily and they should be suspended. You say 80 games, 81 games, 162-game season. I say the full season. That doesn't bother me. You got to go ahead and send it out there. Now, it's hard, you know, in my sport to go ahead and steal anything during that day unless you've done some research. And then you look across and you see him giving signals. That's why they've got two or three guys usually giving signals. So you don't know who the live guy is going to be anyway.
That's good trick.
That's how they do it in the NFL. Two guys are giving signals.
That's good.
One guy's the live guy. One guy's the not live guy.
That's good.
And if I use last week's game and I listen to it because the big boom mics are catching everything, and I pick up some of the sounds and some of the audibles that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are using with Steve DeBerg, well, because I'm paying attention and I'm listening, does that mean I'm cheating? I'm using it from last week going into this week. Doesn't mean they changed it. Could have changed anything they want. When we picked it up against the Buffalo Bills and they were using the same thing and I was getting a little bit of a jump on Ken Hull.
Yeah.
Probably thought I was the greatest nose tackle in the world because I was listening and hearing their plays. They were calling it the line of scrimmage. Well, you've got to become more creative.
Urlacher, last time he was on the station with Waddle and Sylvie, said the exact same thing you always said. He said they'd go into the room and they'd listen to the audio, you know, because I think this came up about Mitch.
Yeah, the boom mics.
It was like Mitch not wanting to turning the TVs off. It was that whole silly thing, remember?
Yeah.
And so Urlacher was on and he joked and he said, we'd go in and we'd listen to the broadcast of the game just to get the defensive calls. I said, Yurko says the same thing all the time. That's the only thing they were trying to pick up on.
Not only that, but the offensive linemen weren't exactly the brightest guys in the world. They'd come to the line of scrimmage, they'd forget the count. They'd go, hey, what's it on? And they go, ABC, first sound, second sound, third sound. Red, white, and blue for 1, 2, or 3. Then once you figured it out during the game, which way it was, well, guess what? Now you know exactly what the count's going to be on, too. So now you get to jump the snap a little bit. And it's just listening, picking stuff up, having some gumption to kind of, hey, maybe this is what this means. And if you do, good for you. If you don't, too bad.
All right, coming up next is the future of the NBA on display last night against the Bulls. He might be the present. Forget about the future. He is something else. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. And still some other Bears NFL notes. In a little bit, I want to play Kurt Warner from Waddle and Sylvie yesterday and what he thinks about the Bears quarterback position and the future of Mitch Trubisky. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
The Mavericks bring it up. They play Doncic off the ball and swing it to him. Doncic, double team. Bounce back to right to the corner. Jackson outside Doncic. Crossover, corner. Jackson wide open. Splash. Doncic the assist.
He got him a good shot because of his ability to put the ball on the floor and break down the defense.
That's his eighth assist. Kleber, shot good. Splice it in.
Open.
And the ninth assist for Doncic, who has needs one more assist for a triple-double. There's the battle between Dunn and Doncic. Get it to a stop, sends it out. If that goes, he's got his triple-double.
Doncic is letting everybody know. He's saying something to Chris Dunn.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Neil and Stacey, NBC Sports Chicago last night as the Bulls lose for a fourth consecutive time. We'll try to bounce back tomorrow at New Orleans. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. It was fun watching Doncic. He's quickly become, I think, all NBA fans, one of their favorite players to watch. He can do everything offensively. He's 20 years old. That's what is important to note. And he's progressing at a rate early in his career
similar to that of what we saw to LeBron James 15, you know, going on soon here 20 years ago, 18 years ago, whenever LeBron came into the league. He's that impressive. He's doing those types of things. Last night was also his league-leading 11th triple-double, too clear of LeBron James. There is simply nothing he can't do offensively. He's not a great three-point shooter yet. He takes a lot of them. You know, he's not afraid to shoot them. He's not a great three-point shooter yet. My guess is he will be when it's all said and done. But he can score any which way. I mean, he's got the ball most of the time. But you even saw last night, they'll move him off the ball. They bring him off screens, pin downs. He can get catch and shoot. He can obviously drive, attack the basket, run the floor. He beat you up the dribble.
Step back.
I mean, there's literally nothing he can't do offensively. His vision is amazing. This is not like superlative talk here, or you know, this isn't overvaluing him or hyperbole or exaggeration. He's already one of the handful of best players in the NBA, and he might, in 5 years from now, my guess is we'll be saying he is clearly the best player in basketball. It is just remarkable how good he is.
And will you be mocking the teams in front of him that didn't take him, or do you still think Ayton should have been taken in front of him and Bagley?
Well, no, of course not. I mean, I can't say that now. Like, what would I have done? Ayton was an impressive prospect.
Yes,
to me,
he was.
For sure. I mean,
played at Arizona, got the coach in trouble. There's a bunch of shenanigans going on down there.
I mean, knowing what we know, of course, I'm going to say he should have been number one. That's obvious. How can you argue it? You know,
That's why the guy that was saying it at the time must be some sort of genius.
Yurko?
Yes. That's why the guy's saying that he's the number one player.
I first heard Yurko talk about Luka Doncic like 3 years ago, in fairness.
Yeah.
I said, who?
Yeah.
This teenager in Slovenia.
They looked at me like I was nuts. He was playing in the international basketball league with Real Madrid.
Yeah, he was playing in Spain.
He was playing in Spain already.
He is from Slovenia, though. Is that right, Yurko?
Yeah, he's Slovenian. Yeah. There ain't no gray area.
So the Mavericks are going to go from having the best European-born player ever to the guy who's going to maybe overtake that player as the best European-born player ever. Although Giannis is going to have something to say about it. But
yeah, he's pretty good at
Yeah, he's pretty damn good, too.
Atamintpakoko.
And the Bulls were, you know, left just scratching their heads at how to guard him. You know, they tried to guard him with smaller guys, which is a tough assignment anyway. That the Bulls don't have some length and athleticism that can run with him is troubling. I mean, Lowry's coming off an ankle injury, still played a good game last night, so I don't know that that'd ever be an option anyway. Zach LaVine's not going to be able to guard a player like that. You're using Shaq Harrison and Chris Dunn mostly to try to guard him. And no matter what they tried, he found a way to beat it. And they're even without Porzingis, they are a potent offense because of this kid. They got some three-point shooting around him. I mean, Hardaway's having a real good year shooting the three ball. So they are a complete and total offense for sure. And he is a lot of fun to watch. Meantime, the Bulls are mired where they've been mired the last couple of years. I don't know where it's getting better, Yurk. That's troubling. They're 13-24 through 37 games. The Bulls were 10-27 through 37 games last year, so a slight improvement. You know what the Bulls' record was in 2018 through 37 games?
What was it?
13-24, the exact same it is today, 3 years ago, you know, 3 seasons ago. I mean, what are they doing? I really don't know.
They're not getting better, Carm.
They're not.
And what are they going to do about it?
No clue. I wish I had better answers for you, but I don't. It might be a little unfair to just blame. I think it's very unfair to just blame the coach. There are obviously deep issues here with this team. I mean, this is top to bottom. This is not going as planned. Scouting wise, do you have the right eyes picking these players? Do you have an analytic department that is working properly for you? Do you have enough of a scouting department that is working for you? All these things are
you're earmarked to get about the 5th, 6th, or 7th pick, right?
Picking 7th again.
Yeah. Congratulations. There you are again. You know, we used to say the cycle was right in the middle, where you're either 8th or 9th, and there's nothing you could change. They've moved the bar further down. You know, it used to be you were the 18th team in the league, the 16th team in the league. You were caught in hell. You're the 23rd team in the
caught
league. You're still caught in hell.
That's
the 24th team. You're caught in hell. As the 24th best team in the league, you're still in hell.
And we can't be talking about moral victories anymore, can we?
No.
You know, they do play pretty hard. Rick Carlisle was praising them after the game.
He pointed it out.
He said they probably play as hard as any team in the league. And that's okay.
You know what you do? That's like you give the little child a pat on the head and say, hey, great effort.
I mean, right. Is that all that we're in for here? As like they play hard? Okay.
Achievement. They gave two grades in grade school. They gave effort grade and they gave an achievement grade.
Yeah.
The achievement grade was the one that they counted for the grade
That's
point
kind
average.
Of the one that matters.
The effort grade was just something to show mom and dad that at least you're trying. You know, you just get the 3-4. We used to be graded on the 4 was an A, 3 was a B. They didn't hand out Fs. It was a 0.
Right.
Yeah. So 3-4. Look, mom, trying hard. Look at the effort grade. It's 4. But that's it. There's nothing for effort in the NBA. You get 0 for effort. You get everything for achievement. There's no second grade. It's achievement grade. And the Bulls aren't achieving.
I just don't know where they're getting
that
better.
That is problem.
Yeah,
there's
with,
a problem.
With this coach, with
this general manager,
yeah,
with this the president.
Thing. The whole thing.
With the whole kit and caboodle, kid.
When you're, you know, when you were, you fired Hoiberg halfway, you know, early last year anyway. His last full season here, through this exact same point, you have the same record, you know, 3 seasons later. And they can't be looking at that thinking this is going as planned. They just can't.
You know, you get a lemon law with a car. You get 5 things wrong with it. You take it back. You don't have. They have to take it back. They've got to get you something else. The lemon law is expired here with the Bulls front office, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've seen enough. You've had a long enough time to try to fix this. You haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
We need a different and a fresh approach. And it's got to start up there, period.
And they've just got some, like, they've got a collection of guys that, you know, Zach's a fine enough player. He probably needs to be the 3rd best player on a really good team.
A great individual talent.
Yeah, I mean, he can score. He's not very efficient, but Zach can really score. You know, and he is fun to watch. He's mauling the dunk contest, by the way, because it's here in Chicago.
Well,
I guess he's considering
They've asked
it.
Him to do the 3-point shooting contest also. If you're not going to do the dunk.
Do the 3-point.
Do the 3-point. I think he's shooting a halfway decent percentage from the 3-point line this year.
I bet you it's okay.
Yeah. He's got enough attempts where he's probably, you know, qualifies, that type
Zach
of thing.
Zach can be a fun player to watch. Lowry is, you know, I don't think Lowry's a special player at all.
Lowry's finish. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Whatever finish attitude you have, just kind of, hey, I'm here, and that's it.
Zach's shooting about 40% for 3, so that's
pretty
good.
Yeah. That's above the number.
Dwight Howard's doing the dunk contest here next
good
month.
Good for him.
So that'll be fun.
Superman. Is he gonna
do you think they convince LeBron to do it?
No way.
Never.
Why? Because it's Michael's house or something? Like, why would LeBron
just
do
because
it?
I thought last year when it was... Wasn't the dunk contest kind of lame last year? And then
I don't know. I haven't watched one in years. I got to be honest.
And I thought everyone was tweeting next year, let's everyone come back one
really?
For one more. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
All-star games are corporate events.
Yeah.
For corporate people to go ahead, mishmash with each other and tell each other how tremendous they are and please spend more money with us. That's what the all-star game is. The nothing happens during the all-star game. No defense is played.
No.
This is every... all-star game that is out there.
It's fun when it's in your city, though. It'll
right.
be cool that it's at the
sure,
United Center.
Sure, sure.
So that's good. I don't know. Black, what's the most frustrating part of the Bulls right now?
The loss is piling up after a season that should be turning in the right direction. You know, Cap brought up the stat that defensively, they're pretty good. I think they're top 10 defensively, and it's nice that they're playing defense, but they keep losing games.
Well,
so
I was thinking about that last night, actually, because I've heard that's been talked about and the stat is out there, and that is good. But you know what strikes me about this team? You want to know why the losses pile up? Whatever they're doing defensively to put them in the top 10, when they need a big stop, they can't get it.
Yeah.
They don't have, whether it's the players, whether it's there always seems to be in a key moment some confusion, a breakdown. A switch that happened that maybe wasn't supposed to happen, or vice versa, or a rotation that's a little bit late. Last night, the Bulls had cut it back down, I think, to either 10 or 8 in the final 3 minutes or so, and Luka Doncic finds a guy in the wing for 3, and Zach LaVine is nowhere near him. And so, it's like there's always
a key breakdown,
and that's why these losses are accumulating.
So think about it this way. Imagine if Zach LaVine was not on this team, how good the defense would be. Think about it. They're top 10 with him playing, 30-plus minutes a night? Imagine how much better they would be. And that's when I always say he's not a winning player, that's what I mean.
Yeah, because he can score, but he's just not.
He's a liability. Yeah. And even though you have efficiency of a good defense, it breaks down because you have a weak link on the team on the court at the end of games. Who's your lead decision maker, right? Like, he's making all the decisions with the ball, too, at the end. It's crazy.
Yeah, probably. It tells you why he's probably, like, best suited as a 3rd best player on a really good team. You know?
I mean, he's...
Because you could just use him as a scorer, and, you know, because he can definitely do that. Zach's fun to watch when he attacks the basket. He's lanky, and he's athletic, and he moves well, even off that injury. I mean, Zach can attack and can finish around the basket, and it can be fun to watch. But
can I give you guys a stat on Luka Doncic to kind of keep an eye on as we go through the season?
Sure.
Okay, are you familiar with PER?
Of course.
Player efficiency rating?
Yeah, sure.
So right now, if the season ended today, Luka Doncic, his PER would be sixth all-time in the NBA.
The sixth best single-season mark all-time?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Just a note, he's not the only one this season having an incredible year.
I'm guessing LeBron's is up there, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, is it?
James Harden, if the season ended today, would have the second highest PER ever.
Wow.
And number one, Giannis Antetokounmpo, would be the all-time highest PER if the season ended today.
Is that right? So right now you've got guys like, happening this year?
Yeah, 3 and 4, it's Wilt Chamberlain in 63 and 62. Number 5, Jordan in 88. Then Luka Doncic this year. LeBron in 09 is 7th. Jordan in 91 is 8th. Wilt in 64, and then LeBron in 13 round out the top 10.
So if it ended right here with that, Giannis would have the number one of all time. That's
Giannis,
incredible.
James Harden, and Luka in his second season is 6th.
Well, that's what's so crazy. Like, by Giannis' second season, maybe we started to get an idea, okay, this kid, there might be something. Like, what Doncic is doing is blowing it out of the water already. Like, he's as good as it took Giannis like 4 years to get to this point.
Right. So Luka in 4 years, what do you have?
You got the best player in the league, probably,
right? By far. By far.
Because Kawhi and LeBron and KD will be kind of aging out a little bit. You know, Kawhi's still. I watched Kawhi Leonard play, and I'm just. He's. You want to talk about sensational and a guy that just at this point has a complete mastery of what defenses are trying to do to him, and doesn't matter. I'll score anyway. You want to try go underneath that screen? Watch this. I'll bury threes on you all night long. You want to come around it? You want to stay on my hip? I'll bury you there, and I'll take it to the basket. I'll do something in the lane. I'll stop. I'll just a little easy bunny for me in the lane for two. I'll find it. Like, there is nothing that guy can't do offensively. And I know the load management thing gets on everybody's nerves, but, hey, you deal with it, right? Don't you just – when he's that good, don't you deal with it? The Clippers knew what they signed up for, right? Like, you deal with it. He picks his games, and you say, okay – as long as you play all of them in the playoffs, which he'll play, that's all you want him for.
Did we ever come to the bottom of the whole San Antonio thing? Did we ever get to the bottom of that? Will we ever get to the bottom of that? Or is just that's one of those that nobody's ever going to find out what happened?
I don't know.
Kind of like Roquan Smith, what happened that day.
Good question.
His little private thing that he had going on.
You mean why Kawhi wanted out of there? He thought they mishandled his injury.
Yeah, but
so he didn't trust the organization.
He wanted
out.
Right,
yeah.
But he didn't come back. And he didn't play.
Yeah, right.
Even though he was healthy.
I think, like Chris said, he just didn't trust him. He thought they mishandled the quad injury, and he was frustrated, and he shut it down on them. And I feel like if any other player had done that.
For Popovich never to fire on him.
Never.
Makes me almost believe that Popovich was the one that tried to get him back, tried to force him back, tried to motivate him back. And at the end, he was wrong, and he probably received some bad information from his doctors or his people. That's why Popovich never made a big stink about it.
Maybe.
Wouldn't you have to believe that if you just took a look at a little bit of logic? Why? Popovich fired on everybody. He'd bench his guys in a half a heartbeat
if
they weren't playing well. Something had to happen for Popovich just to say, all right,
like you
I've
think
washed
he
my
knew
hands
he was
it.
Wrong and that and he
yes, and, that he was wrong or his people were wrong.
Yeah.
And at that point all he could do is just say this is
forget it. This is it.
This is the way it's gonna be. It's not gonna end well for us, and we gotta just move on from here.
Boy, if you're San Antonio, and of course they knew how good he was, but you see what this guy's capable of. Yeah. I mean, he could get a third team to the finals. I mean, that's
if he does that, then we have to start having the conversations of is he top 10 all time? Is he where is he ranked?
You never even heard of such a thing, right?
If the Clippers win a championship because of Kawhi Leonard,
he's unbelievable, man. In the meantime, here we are stuck watching other players as Bulls fans and say, man, they're good. I wish we had
watching
that
everybody else. Yeah,
I wish we had that guy.
So we basically wait the rest of the season for the shoe to drop, right? Like, because this team seems lifeless.
What's the shoe? Well they don't seem lifeless. They do. I will say they play hard.
I agree with Yurko. Playing hard. What does it matter?
Well, I'm not saying it's good, but I don't think they're lifeless, though, Chris.
You know, the joke I've used many times this season is sometimes Lowry Markkanen's out there just getting steps for his Fitbit.
He's finished.
I mean, he's out there. There's minutes, but there's not really any activity going on.
I watched Timu Solani play. I don't think Timu Solani never celebrated anything. I don't think the Finnish people celebrate.
Oh, well, you don't think so?
They just kind of exist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Float about?
Yeah, they just kind of walk.
He's Finnish. That's yeah. What I'm going to blame it on.
What's the other shooter drop?
Well, I mean, what are we doing? We're just treading water?
Oh,
they're
going
to develop a young core? The core's not developing.
I just told you. They've got the same number of wins through the same number of games as they did 3 seasons ago.
That's right. Not good, guys.
Nothing's happening. Oh. And before they made the changes and they traded Jimmy Butler, why did they do that? They were sick of 41-41.
I know.
They were sick of the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
41-41 right now.
Exactly. So aren't we just waiting until something major happens with this team?
Kinda.
Like, are they really going to band together and take over the sixth seed in the East? That's Probably not.
The amazing thing is they're 3 games out of a playoff spot.
Right.
I mean, how bad? Right. Are you kidding me? You've got 13 wins. You're nearing the halfway mark, and you've got 13 wins, and you're 3 games out of a playoff spot?
You're right there, Carl.
Hey, 2 good weeks, and you could be a playoff team.
By the way, you're 4 games out.
Brooklyn,
you're 4 games out.
Oh, are they 4? Yeah. I thought there were 3.
No, they're
Brooklyn
4 games
must have
out.
Win.
Charlotte is 3 games out.
Okay. Yeah. Brooklyn's playing without. You knew they'd be without KD, but Kyrie's played 10 games, I think. They don't know what's going on.
By the way,
there.
Brooklyn's lost 6 in a row to allow you to stay within that striking distance.
Boy, that's bad stuff. 312-332-3776. That's the number if you want to join us. Kurt Warner was on the station yesterday. He's always good to listen to, especially talking about quarterbacks. He
Northern
was on the
Iowa
and Sylvie.
Northern Iowa's
that's
Kurt
right.
Warner.
Briefly a teammate with Yurko in Green Bay
yep.
when he was in camp 1 year. Kurt Warner was asked by the guys, what do the Bears have in Mitchell Trubisky? Listen to this.
I think you have a young quarterback that's continuing to learn how to play the game. Continuing to learn everything from fundamentals, technique, throwing, to you know seeing the field and making decisions on time. He's definitely teased us and shown us that he can do some things really, really well, and that he can make a lot of different throws. He just hasn't shown us the consistency to see the field and make the proper decision time in and time out. You know, one thing you know I wonder when I watch them on tape is that they do a lot of stuff. You know, they do a lot of, you know, kind of smoke and mirrors and trying to create easy opportunities and all that stuff. And it's great, and it worked so well a year ago. But I think sometimes in doing so much of that, that you never build a base offense in which you say, this is what we're going to do really, really well every single game. This is what Mitch can count on every single timeout, that these are our 30 plays that we are going to run over and over and over and over again because he's comfortable with them. So you can get into games, and when things start to go haywire, it's not always, hey, let's create and see if we can run this, you know, double reverse thing and it you know breaks a big one. We can say, hey, let's go to that one thing that Mitch has been great at all year. And let's stay there, and let's allow him to learn to play the position in a position of strength. And, you know, sometimes when I watch them, I wonder what those things are. And for a young guy that hasn't played a lot of football, I think it's vitally important to bring them along slow and make sure that you're staying in their area of strength as much as you possibly can.
Well, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. And when Kurt Warner says all the smoke and mirror stuff worked so well a year ago, but when they asked Mitchell Trubisky to play the quarterback position more like we expect it to be played or a coach expects it to be played, he really struggled. And that's not a good sign. And is it that he's just still young? I mean, how much further can we go, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, saying that he's young? He's played 40 games in this league. And is it... Did Matt Nagy do him a disservice all of 2018 when everything was gimmicky? Because maybe he could have been learning the position. But the minute they turned it over to him in week one, and then for most of the season, when they said, now you got to play quarterback, he couldn't really do it.
I'm going to say a term for you. Baptism by fire. That's what has to happen. Matt Nagy's here to win games. He's here to develop a quarterback. But while developing that quarterback, he's got to win games. There needs to be an identification of what your quarterback can and cannot do. That's the responsibility of the head coach. I've got to win this game this Sunday. I've got to develop my quarterback, but in the process of developing my quarterback, I need him to be able to win games and not make
mistakes.
So
you're saying for Matt Nagy, it had to be that way in 2018?
What do you like? Yeah, you've got to win games. That's what this is about.
So did Matt Nagy err when he tried to make him a quarterback this year then? Is that on the coach? Should he have still gone back to everything being real gimmicky?
It's still the process. Still the process of what you're trying to do with your quarterback. You know, ultimately, it can't always all be gimmicky. Otherwise, that's what you are. When they say this team doesn't have an identity, it doesn't have an identity because what they want to do, they can't do. That's why they don't have an identity. And they're waiting for the quarterback to develop to the point where they can say, hey, this is what we do well, and this is what our identity is. I heard a call earlier on Cap Show saying there's not enough time for the guy to throw. There's not enough there. How do you judge him fairly? There's no wide receivers. He said Allen Robinson was a third wide receiver, which I dismissed this comment instantaneously right there. His talk about the offensive line not providing quarterback protection enough, I agree with that. I think this offensive line was horrendous this year. What happened? Why they backslide? I have no idea. I just know they did. Okay? But the head coach is here to win games. When the head coach doesn't win games, he's out on his ear.
Yeah,
he's out on his ear. They're fired. Who? And the development of your quarterback, he's responsible for that, but he's responsible for winning games.
Who should the Bears be looking at for an offensive coordinator? Does it even matter when Matt Nagy's so heavily involved in play calling?
I would promote Dave Ragone. I mean, I don't know what they're wasting their time.
Would they go on the outside? Would Pat Shurmur take a job?
Why would Shurmur come in?
Would Jason Garrett take the job?
Why would anybody come in and be an offensive coordinator and not call plays?
I don't know. I saw that on Twitter earlier.
It's an empty position.
Why would Jason Garrett take the job?
He wouldn't.
And I don't think Matt Nagy would want that, would he? Would he want Jason Garrett breathing down his neck?
No.
Probably not. No. This is Rob in Hillside on ESPN 1000. Hello, Rob.
Hey, what's going on? I was listening to Captain Company this morning, and they were talking about how we should go out and get wide receivers and tight ends, and I totally disagree with that. We need to get another quarterback in the first-round pick. The challenge.
Well, they don't have a first-round pick.
First pick, second round.
Second-round pick. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Second-round pick. We need to go get another quarterback to challenge Trubisky, and that way if he does get hurt and goes down, we got somebody to fall back on to, like Steelers had Duck. He did all right.
So
he was down, and then they had a third quarterback up. But need somebody to be there. We never had a backup since Steve Walsh.
Identify your quarterback. Identify your quarterback. Hey, wherever he is that you're going to pick, identify him and take him where you're going to have to take him. Whether it's Eason, whether it's somebody else, whether it's Hurts, whether it's whoever happens to fall into that second round, if you identify him that he's the guy, take him wherever that spot is.
Brett's in Willowbrook on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Hey, I wanted to comment on something Kurt Warner said in that clip you played, because I've heard a lot of Bears fans say that, and I think it's like one of the biggest lies Bears fans tell themselves, and that's that the offense was good a year ago.
Oh, you're right.
Because they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't the dumpster fire they were this year, but the offense was the weak spot. It wasn't that good. The whole offseason this year was, is the offense going to be able to step up? I feel like the Bears and Mitch were so bad this year offensively that people now remember 2018 like it was better offense than it was.
I think
it
you're
was
right.
Trash in 18, it was even worse. And I'm so sick of hearing people talk like we were good a year ago and Mitch was great. Like, he wasn't. That's just frustrating.
Right. I think you're right, Brett. And Yurko and I have brought that up from time to time. It was gimmicky. It was cute. It was fun. And it did work for them to a certain extent. But they were like the 21st ranked offense. That doesn't mean you're a good offense.
This is why people are mad at the defense, because the defense didn't provide enough bunnies. They provided bunnies for the offense last year.
Yeah.
They scored 45 points last year. They only scored 11 points this year for the offense. Yeah. So that's why people are upset at the defense. Yeah. You didn't give enough bunnies to this remedial offense, and that's why we couldn't score points.
And it's a fair point. And we've discussed that. We spent a lot of the offseason talking about that, why it was so important for the offense to get better. It wasn't great in 2018.
Listen, the defense carried its weight. The offense did not.
John's in Naperville. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up?
Yurko, I'm so happy that you commented on that call from the Cap Show, the Cap and Company earlier, because I was trying to call in and rip that guy a new one. To call Robinson a three on any other team is a joke.
That's a joke, yeah.
Team that he'd be a number one in. Also, Mitch Trubisky just flat out can't play. It's not the offensive line overthrowing Allen Robinson 15 yards when he's wide open on a go route. It's not him. It's not the offensive line or guys dropping it when he's underthrowing Taylor Gabriel
are throwing the ball behind Anthony Miller or running out of bounds when he's 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage instead of throwing the ball away. It's like simple football. He just cannot play.
John, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. To call Allen Robinson a three on any other team is silly. That's just, what can you say? Yerk, we are out and about. Remember, on Thursday
of this week,
we're going to be with the great folks at Brewhouse Legends at one of our favorite places, Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. So come by and see us. Not Friday, Thursday from noon to two. And then noon to two. And then I think Friday, in our first Midwest Bank State Street Studios, we might have to pay off the Green Bay bet we lost.
And that's fine. Yeah. That's what we have to do. We have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Randy's working on that with our buddies up at ESPN in Milwaukee. I think they're going to send the cheeseheads and the flag. And
beautiful.
That's going to be terrible. Thursday, when we're out at Twin Peaks, we're going to have a little like 45-minute Bears roundtable. Me and you are going to be joined by Jeff Dickerson.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Dan Weederer of the Chicago Tribune. So the four of us will be there, and we'll maybe do some caller or listener interaction with people there about how to fix the Bears and where they're going to go in this offseason. So that's the Bears Roundtable when we're out and about Thursday at Twin Peaks. And J.D. and Dan Weeder will be there with us at the finest
hour. I don't know if we're going to get Tito in Puerto Rico, but they've had earthquakes there the last 2 days.
We
want to send our love out to everybody out in Puerto Rico.
Tito wanted to talk about the White Sox.
Okay. I know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge the fact we got a phone call from Puerto Rico.
All right.
And things are a little bit tumultuous down there.
We wish you the best. Crosstalk is next on ESPN 1000.